See, the enemy likes to scare with those perilous things, but his tricks shouldn't be snares. You're in the care of the king. Let's talk. So, there's been a lot of talk on social media lately, and emotions have been here, they've been there, they've been a little bit of everywhere. I promise you I'm not about to Dr. Seuss this whole episode. So, once again, if you are a born-again believer, stop scrolling. And if you are not a born-again believer, stop scrolling. This is for you too. Let me just talk to the body of Christ. Let me just talk to the born-again believer for just a second. If you are not a born-again believer, just stick around, but let me talk to the believer. And are we forgetting? Could we possibly be forgetting that regardless to what is going on in society, that we are in the care of the King? Yes, the King. Fears, anxieties, frustration, anger are all somewhat red flags. They're somewhat evidence that we have forgotten that we are in the care of the King. Back to basic Christianity 101. To understand what it means to be in the King's care, we must first understand that, yes, God is a king. He is considered the King of Kings. Also, to understand what it means to be in the care of the King, we have to first acknowledge the perfect work that Jesus accomplished on the cross. God is a king, but he's not just a king. He is a perfect king, absolutely holy. There is not one sin, grain size speck of sin that is in or allowed in his presence. And because of the fall of man's sin, God had to have a perfect sacrifice that would pay the penalty for man's sin. We all know the story. Jesus came along. He became that perfect sacrifice. And no, there was not a sand grain size speck of sin found in Christ. Fast forward and just confessing that Jesus is Lord and that he died for our sins and that God raised him on the third day. Basic Christianity 101. So now the king part. So a lot of us understand that the Bible wasn't written through the lens of Western society. It was written at a time during monarchs and kingdoms and empires when queens and kings ruled. We, on the other hand, are in a democracy where we got to see elect leaders into office and view the Constitution as the law of the land. In a kingdom, the king's word is the law of the land. Now picture this. Do you realize that when a king or a queen realize that they are with child, that there is a public announcement that is made throughout the kingdom where the entire kingdom celebrates because they realize that the king and the queen are now about to give birth to an heir. In the church, we use a lot of terminology that your average individual really don't even understand. We use terms like covenant, righteousness, and testament, Old Testament, New Testament. A lot of these terms that your average individual don't even understand what they mean. One term I want to focus on in particular is righteousness. The Bible says that the born-again believer is now considered the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Once again, righteousness is a kingdom term. All righteousness means is to be back in right standing, to be back in a right relationship, to once again be in the grace and favor of the king. Why did I bring up the example of the king and the queen about to have an heir? Because when you became born again, you were born into a kingdom. You were born into royalty. And you were not just born into the kingdom as some regular citizen. All kingdoms have ranks. You have monarchs, which is the king and queen. You have the royal family. You have nobles. You have clergy. You have knights. And you have commoners. Now, in a kingdom, the king owns everything, including the people, and it is the king's responsibility to make provisions for the people. Now, if it's anything that you take with you from out of all of this, if there is one area where the king has not made provision for the people, that area reflects the king and his kingdom. There is no king that wants any area of his kingdom to be viewed in lack because it reflects the king. Believer, you were not born into the kingdom as some commoner or some regular citizen. You were actually born into the kingdom of God as a child of God, a child of the king. There is not one area in your existence where the perfect king has not surveyed your entire life and has not made provisions for. If he hasn't made provision, then he's not the perfect king. It doesn't matter what it is, policies, politics, protection, provision. At the end of the day, you're not just a Christian, you're the beloved child of the King. You're in the King's care. I told you we was coming.